over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, on this Wednesday. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm going to have to tell Ed. I didn't post on your page or anything, but I did wish you a happy birthday on air.
Oh, thank you. Right. I was actually took the day off and enjoyed some time with the fam and missed that, but thank you.
What did the kids do for you for your birthday?
I hate to say that this was a great gift, but they actually went back to school. So it was nice to get a little quiet time at home for a little bit. It was the first day back since March. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, actually. And it just so happened yesterday was the first day?
Yeah. Yep, because, would have been Monday, but that was a holiday, so.
Oh, that's funny.
Glad to have them back safely and, protocols in place, but they love being back as well. And hopefully the momentum going in the right direction on that end.
Nice. Nice. Well, happy, healthy, many more. And we got plenty, actually, even though, it's still winter, we're immersed in winter racing. Between the future wager, which released yesterday, and you sent me the PPs, which I appreciate, the Briz PPs. And let's actually start there because you've always, I know it's just less than 24 hours, but there actually are a few interesting maidens on this list that might be new to some people.
Yeah, I believe this is the first time I can remember in Pool 2, certainly, formerly Pool 1, before they added the November 1. They've never taken the plunge of putting an unraced horse on here. I do think it's happened in Pool 3, maybe. But actually, Pool 2 is typically the first week of February, and now this is the third week of January, so a little different there, too. Regardless, the presence of Bezos certainly sticks out, and I believe they're expecting him to make his debut this weekend. So by the time the pool closes, he will have raced. But nevertheless, a huge statement of the buzz this horse is getting to show up. And not only is he on the pool, because they're listed alphabetically and there's no A horses, he's actually number one. So not hidden in any way, going to stick out big time, and we'll see what happens Saturday. But, another Baffer that's supposed to win his debut. We saw it with Life is Good. We saw it with Concert Tour. And, the way Baffert's gone the last few years with Justify and Nadal and Charlatan last year, to me, Bezos kind of fits the new program that Bob has seemed to use to success to get some big wins in the spring.
Yeah, Empire Maker out of an AP Indy mare. He certainly, from a breeding standpoint, you're thinking this is a long-winded type, but at the same time, clock's ticking. We said this, we've said this a little too often lately, I guess, that but I trust the process to pull a line from the Sixers. If Baffert, if he thinks he's ready now and he can, he can get him stretched out appropriately and in time, who's going to argue?
He's done it enough that, it's understandable those who want to take a gamble. Unfortunately, in the paramutual system, too many want to take the gamble, and the price just never seems to be there. It's almost in the case of this horse, I would say, and he's 20-1 on the line, but that's just kind of, you had to make him something. I mean, if he runs off the screen, I could see him being single digits with the way this hype works. And, you know, Life is Good to me is a perfect example. He was clearly the favorite, even with the presence of undefeated, likely champion Essential Quality in pool one, and Life is Good was favored comfortably. And he might be a longer price now, even off a win in the sham since that pool, than he was in pool one. So it's always fascinating to me how these things get bet and the role, you know, Buzz plays in the wager. But it's tough to take Baffert in these pools because it seems like everyone else does, and definitely with no thought to whether they're getting fair value.
Who else caught your eye among the recent maiden winners?
You know, I guess he's run since, but, you know, I kind of get some of the thoughts on, is it Medina or Medina Spirit?
Well, it depends. Are we going to go to the golf course, or are we going to go to, I've been saying Medina.
All right, I'm gonna stick with my 330 area code brethren and say the same. But you know, that kind of has a, you know, ran into Life is Good in the Stakes. Bob didn't mind running him in there. Kind of has a early real quiet Indian Charlie vibe, maybe. But 12-1 on the morning line, not too exciting. Prime Factor, and you know, Quality Road was a horse I backed for the sire wager, so I'm pretty thrilled. Not sure I really need to invest more in a single entity, but I would say Quality Road, I think, is definitely an underappreciated sire, if that's possible, at his stallion level. But it just seems like he's never really mentioned other than within the breeding industry of being the quality that he is. Pardon the overuse of the word, but I think Prime Factor, certainly given the pedigree, merits respect. 30-1 sticks out to me. And after the weekend Brad had last week, where I'm sure he was disappointed with the performance of his three-year-olds at Fairgrounds, and we'll see what happens in the Smarty Jones. But I kind of see him as sort of a Baffert style who, okay, Mandaloon didn't work out, we can reload with Prate, who was an impressive maiden winner at Fairgrounds. So I'm glad you asked about the maidens, because I do think that, to me, if you're going to find value with knowing the Bafferts are going to take money, including his unraced horse, if Bezos runs well, these one start where you're taking a poke at maybe a, you know, 30-40-1 price is maybe where to look.
Prate, Into Mischief, and you know, everybody's going to wrap their minds and hearts and minds around Authentic, but out of an exchange rate mare. Gonna have to, you know, when he won in December, I looked. I'm gonna have to look back and kind of get a feel. How about Olympiad jumping in here? Olympiad, the Spitestown out of Tokyo Time. This is a horse that Emery Hamilton bred, and of course Tokyo Time, a nice mare for Shug. And broke the maiden back at Saratoga in September, has been working steadily at Payson Park, and be interested to see Pott's plan is.
I'm not involved in the room, so to speak, but, you know, having talked about this through the years with Gary, Darren, and the team, I know they are very diligent about making phone calls and, hey, you know, making sure you're going to nominate, mm-hmm. and that you're planning the Derby path. They're very earnest in making sure who they're offering are, you know, Derby types based on what the connections think.
Right.
So I have a feeling this horse came from a conversation with Bill Mott, you know, with the layoff. And, yeah, there are works back, which is encouraging, but there's no way they would have included this horse without getting, you know, as much as Bill is
going
forward. So, you know, that gives some optimism that maybe a big price. And you look at who he beat in that maiden race. The second and third are bold in my PPs, which means they're in this among the 23 in this as well, which is a positive.
Well, and even in his maiden race, when he was beaten nine lengths in his debut, the Reinvestment Risk was the winner. And Windcracker, who actually comes back, Windcracker is the Greg Tremant and Amos. When did I? He's running somewhere. He's running somewhere. Maybe at Oaklawn. Is that right? I just saw him in the entries. I'm almost positive.
Okay. Yeah. Entered Friday at Oaklawn.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of a read. Although Limpy had already, you know, came back and broke his maiden, and he broke his maiden at seven, which is a, you know, you, one turn mile or 7/8 maiden win is usually a nice indicator. I'll tell you who's going to go ignored. Speaking of Into Mischief, what about Mutasabek off that Mucho Macho Man? Right, he's 30-1. He's going to be an attractive number.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the other figures, but on Brisnet, that was his lifetime best by far. And I missed the memo, and a few colleagues of mine thought, James included, that he would be the favorite and he would oblige, as John G. Dooley would say. And he was 11-10 and won and got a nice number doing it. So I kind of missed that for sure, but tough to ignore. And Into Mischief in general, he's the sire of five of the 23
Amazing.
Individual entrants.
Unbelievable.
And that's just incredible. And, you know, I remember when he started out and they were doing whatever it took to get mares to him. And obviously it doesn't always work out. Breeding is, as I know, you know, very inexact science, but they put the right pieces in place for him, and just incredible what he's accomplished as a sire from his crops.
I'm going to mention too, you know, you mentioned multiple horses on the list, and Street Sense right off the top has got, of course, Capo Kane coming off the Jerome win, and we expect to see him back in the Withers. We had that conversation at the start of the year. And how about this other Baffert Concert Tour off the maiden win the other day? And is obviously just three quarters, but a Street Sense out of the Tappet mare purse strings for Gary and Mary West. And, you know, this is 15-1 morning line. I wonder how much attention he's going to get.
Yeah, it seems like one of these Bafferts has to get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
And I don't know if it's Bob or, you know, people around him. You know, he has a lot of influence, and his circle does as well. You know, clearly there's going to be some chatter about, you know, oh, this is the one he likes best, kind of shades of American Pharoah and Dortmund,
yeah.
Which was always popular conjecture. And to me, it does kind of fit, like, okay, it's three in here. Life is good. It's funny to say he's the established one, but, you know, he's a stakes winner. He already took money in Pool One. Maybe Concert Tour is the forgotten one if Bezos runs off the screen. And I know Concert Tour's already taken, as has Bezos, lots and lots of money in, you know, what future wagers remain from a bookmaking perspective. But if you're a fan and, you know, Bezos runs well and people stick with Life is Good, maybe you do get some drift. It's 15-1. That's too low for me, but, you know, you start to maybe pay attention at higher prices.
I'll ask Sid next week, actually, after these numbers get set on Sunday. It's kind of an interesting pedigree. The Concert Tour was a modest winner for Gary and Mary West, and she herself out of a Mount Livermore mare, who was out of a Marfa mare. When was the last time you saw Marfa anywhere in a pedigree?
If I saw it, it didn't register.
Wow. How about that? I've got that. Cause Sid, whenever we have these, we love the obscure stallion angle. How about this? Wow. Last was standing in
Texas. Well, certainly
Medina
Spirit fits the obscure pedigree.
Well, Protonico, you know, Protonico, I mean, is a, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, It's I could see one of those, and Brilliant Speed, certainly, I mean, you and I remember, and I actually picked him in the Classic that year, but, you know, down the road, that seems to be, you know, one where people, Brilliant Speed is the broodmare sire, so, you know,
well,
but good on him, 35,000, and to seem to have a good one on their hands.
Well, and you know, poor Brilliant Speed, who died way prematurely, has really had actually seemingly a fair amount of success from the limited stallion, the limited
right.
stallion attempts that he got. I think it's going to turn out long term that, you know, that was really too bad. Bad luck with him dying young. Well, it's always fun, and we'll don't forget Sunday night. You know, I'm sure everybody's going to be. Which game is late? The AFC game is late, so I'm sure people will be watching football. And but don't forget that
set an alarm.
Yeah, that 6 o'clock, right?
6 o'clock.
Six or 6:30. Okay.
Six. Yep.
All right. Ed, let's touch on a couple other things as well, and that includes, I didn't get a chance to get to you. I half thought maybe we'd get a window about that Turfway Friday night, second week in a row, pick five carryover. And not only the carryover, but it ended up having the appeal of the anchor leg being the stake. That was a fun sequence.
As always, Turfway, it seems, competitive. I posted something on Monday about the field size there, more than 10 since the meet began, and by far the highest anywhere. And that does make these sequences challenging. And unfortunately, I was out right off the rip, ready to charm. Was not a horse that I had tabbed, and it's a shame because I do think Jimmy Chapman is a guy I kind of pay attention to and usually look a little deeper, but still couldn't find that one. And that was the key, 25-60 yep. winner. And then the rest were, you know, including, I believe, one favorite. Yeah. The rest, to me, weren't by any means impossible, despite, you know, a couple other $10-plus dollar winners. But 8,800 if you got it right. And really that opening leg was the one you had to get through.
You also, and now the one asterisk in this is I'm sure there were some people that were taken down when 20 Carat got, you know, the firster got moved
yes.
behind Wait for Nairobi. I mean, you 5-2 favorite, and it ran well, but it did not seem like an unreasonable, you know, I didn't see a lot of people grousing.
No, I mean, I could have seen a case for keeping him up too, but watching it, I thought it was a pretty clear DQ in my mind, and the stewards agreed. So even if you did get taken down and agree with the choice, it's still always tough to, you know, be under the wire first and cost yourself a chance at a nice score. But that one, you know, pretty much to me was hard to argue against.
Well, and that got you to the anchor leg, and it just so happens, you know, we didn't know when Ben Colebrook was on earlier in the week, we didn't know that this thing was going to end up being a carryover, but Ben explained why Made in America was in the race, and, you know, Bob's your uncle, 1780.
And good to see he and Declan Cannon both get a win there. I know infrequent visits so far at the Turfway meet, but both very capable, and as you said, a nice pressing trip this time was on the lead New Year's Eve, and a little bit of relaxation saved some punch late and got the job done at a price, and for the pick end backers, a very nice return in race five.
Well, and the very lucky, especially if you're Asian, the very lucky $8,888.
Chris
right?
K would have been happy with that one.
8888 and 70 cents as well. If you got through this, and as you know, we mentioned the Chapman in the opening at just under 12-1 was really the key. The racing continues to be compelling. The cards at Turfway, and it feels, based on the numbers, Ed, it really feels like, you know, they're churning. I mean, they're maintaining the interest.
Yeah, I was a bit nervous, like, oh, what are we going to see with Sam Houston opening and things picking up with other tracks into January? And it is not lit up at all. And, you know, I would say Oak Lawn is sort of the next domino to fall with them opening this weekend. But seems like no let up at Turfway. And, you know, you and I have talked, and, you know, what I do Friday night with Inside Turfway Park, having talked to trainers like Greenhill and others, is, you know, this has gotten tougher. And even with a few guys and horses maybe heading south to other tracks now, there's no let up in the entry box at Turfway. So definitely have to earn it. You have to come with the right horse, and the competitiveness has led to some really nice prices.
Well, and Colebrook said specifically he's entered, I think he had five starters up to going into Friday night, and his horses have been running well, but he said he gets the overnight and he picks up the PPs, and he's stunned at how tough the races are. And I'm just looking at tomorrow night and Friday you've got, again, I mean, tomorrow, 11 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 9 by 12 by 12 with 5 of those races having AEs. And the same thing on Friday night again, 9 by 12 by 9 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. So, I mean, you say, you know.
That's intense.
Come on. It's amazing. Amazing fields. And these are, you know, and they're obviously, I mean, there's nickel, you know, there's some nickel claimers. The nightcap tomorrow is 5,000 non-winners of three lifetime. But I tell you, a lot of that is very formful. And it's not like it's, you know, mysterious. But there's maiden 30. There's a 30 non-2. There's a straight 18 claimer. There's maiden special weight for 32,000. I mean, the racing is rock solid.
Yep. And, you know, it can be tough. I mean, these full fields take time to get through, and it's, yep, et cetera. But as I posted, I believe also on Monday, there's a handful of both jockeys and trainers who have a flat bet profit. And I don't, when I post those stats, Steve, it's not to say, hey, this is what you should be doing, just bet Bill Morey anytime he has a horse in. The point is, these trainers or jockeys are outperforming their odds, or maybe they're riding or training a little bit better than the rest, or this is the time the condition book is in their barn's favor, and make sure you take a look. You know, and at 2-1, maybe you are dismissive of a horse's chances, but, you know, Maury's sending one over, and maybe there's something a little to like, and it's 8 or 10-1. To me, that's the spot where you don't want to get beat by that horse. Now, if you have a single, you really want to lean on a horse, fine. Don't double the cost of your ticket. But to me, when I see after 5 weeks now, you know, the same riders and trainers performing at a flat bet profit, that's where I just want to make sure if I'm already deep, there's no way I want to get beat by that horseman specifically.
Well, let's also fold in some Sam Houston thoughts, as well as Chris Griffin tomorrow, and he and I'll go over the pick six again, and a couple of things. Sam Houston and Oak Lawn, of course, on Friday, and I saw that either yesterday or maybe Monday, you had sent out, and I had this came up with Emily Gullickson earlier too this morning, fast starters at Oak Lawn. How about a quick Oak Lawn glance before we talk Sam Houston?
Yeah, I looked actually who did well last year in January, and Deodoro stuck out, and it was really competitive after that. But, you know, I do have to say, and I've heard a horseman talk about this and chatter at Oak Lawn, it's a very different style meet in terms of how they're allowing people to train and when the horses have to be on the grounds and how they're testing. So I would definitely, you know, handicap the horse certainly as always, but I'm definitely going to be paying attention to who's running well opening weekend and plan to make adjustments accordingly, because there's a lot of fire to the smoke. People are talking about it, what Oakland's doing to keep everything safe and secure and level playing field for the competitors, which, you know, I certainly applaud. But that, to me, that's part of handicapping that circuit coming into opening week and beyond. But I do like the opening day card. I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I don't know if you want me to get to that or switch to Sam Houston.
But no, go ahead. If you've got a couple of Friday plays, go ahead.
Yeah. In race three, number five, Change Direction, is 15-1 on the morning line. And I definitely think Change Direction's a front end threat. Stretching out, and his best race did come at this distance. So I think he's definitely a possibility to outrun his odds at that price. In race five, number 12, Strolling, should be the one closing against this group. And Villafranco is the new trainer, and he has good numbers in that category. But it looks like plenty of speed for Strolling to chase down in race five. I believe he's 10-1 on the morning line. And then in the Smarty Jones, I am chalky after giving out two prices earlier on the card. Just looks like Wakato River's speed. Hopefully exercise some demons for the barn that had a rough go last week at Fairgrounds with some well-meant three-year-olds. But when Cattle River stretched out to the one-turn mile, he blitzed them. And this two-turn short stretch mile at Oaklawn should provide a benefit to similar tactics. So I am on the chalk in the Smarty Jones.
Fair enough. The field is just, as Jay said yesterday, it's, you know, it's kind of a moderate, not what we'll see, you know, down the road with the Southwest.
And I think with the somewhat later start, I mean, it's only a few days, but especially this year where you have, you know, it's not on Martin Luther King Day as it was 3 or 4 years ago, and the earlier, so to speak, Derby with it being on May 1st really kind of smash the stakes program together at Oaklawn, and you know, it's fine to win this and get some points and use it as a springboard. But I echo Jay's sentiments that it seems like the Southwest will be the real kickoff here.
Well, and then the Saturday card came out terrific too. I've got the pick five sequence, and I know that we're going to end up, you know, looking heavily at the Gulfstream card, but the late pick five Saturday at Oaklawn with the two stakes and with maidens on either end, first leg and last, and an allowance in between. So rousing start, and we'll have more Oaklawn. Dave Hill is going to join us tomorrow and talk some Hot Springs as we do every year, and then Hammer, and I know he's going to have, I think he's going to have Jeff from the clocking stand as well. So Oaklawn gets a big part of the coverage along with the GP. Let's talk some Sam Houston as well. And on the Twin Spire side, let's get that reminder of everybody in the promotion, because you can squirrel away, you know, $5 a clip here toward the big Saturday action. Next Saturday.
Still plenty of time to opt into the Sam Houston promo. You've got $100 on a card. You bank five for the big stakes day, which is next week, and was really hoping to head down there with Jason Beam, but unfortunately with the numbers and pandemic as it is, just can't justify the travel. Really wanted to make that work, but he and I will definitely be doing a lot of fun stuff for that week, so we are looking forward to it. Just won't be live, but hopefully Twin Spires players will have that $50 bankroll to play with or earn it, $5 at a time. That's still in play if you opt in. And I thought it was a tale of 2 weeks to start things off, Steve. Some big prices and payouts the first 2 days opening week, and did seem like a big return to form in my mind. You know, still a long shot here or there, but kind of seemed like we settled into the logicals doing well. But it's a pretty deep trainer colony, and there's no one you can really just say, oh, you know, Steve's in here, move on to the next. They're all making them each other earn it. So that still made for some fun handicapping.
Well, and, you know, right away, of course, you know, we had the it took about 10 seconds for a pick six carryover.
Yeah.
that part has worked. And, you know, it's seemingly formful. And, you know, Nick Damrow warned us, you know, for those that were wading into Sam Houston, that there is a tendency that that track for, you know, for it to get slick, and horses on the front end have you know, been making hay. I mean, not that horses can't win from off the pace, but certainly was it Friday night's sequence? Friday night was certainly dominated on the front end.
Yes, and I believe it didn't matter route or sprint either, and you didn't necessarily need to be gate to wire, but yeah, it, for whatever, and I remember betting horse, I forget which race, but you know, he had some horse and came, but if you're way off the pace, it's just not happening there, and it's just one of those things to adapt, and you know, it's better to be on it early, as it sounds like Nick was, but certainly there, just if you're in form early in this meet and have a fitness edge, you're able to get the jump on the competition.
Well, and we had some fun even on the Thursday. I didn't end up putting, you know, a ticket together for the Friday night. You know, the thing got, it just was too much, you know, too quickly. But I enjoyed it, making the attempt. And we certainly started off last week with that Texas Bad Boy. That sort of made the whole effort worthwhile. Saturday as well, they had it was Saturday that they had just reaching for the with that long shot that you had that 70-1 shot. This going back, going back to the force out. There's a lot going on. I'm looking forward to Chris and Griffin, and I are going to, go out at most weeks at Sam Houston. And tomorrow, where is tomorrow's? I had it. It's been sitting on the desk the whole morning. And, of course, now I reach for it. And, we're actually going to wrap up. There it is. The tomorrow sequence, two maiden special weight divisions, fillies, 3-year-old fillies on either end. And then in between a 15 claimer and, an allowance, a small field. So tomorrow's pick six looks worth trying. Ed, I appreciate it. Nice, comprehensive look, and I appreciate the early Derby future wager. And, anything else for today?
My last thought would be encourage anyone, if you didn't get in last week, to our Derby Trail contest at Twin Spires. You're spotting a few people, 10 points from the LeConte, but plenty of races and points up for grabs. And with that $30,000 and trip to Derby first prize, might as well jump in and start from the Smarty Jones.
Excellent. Well, Ed, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Ed DeRosa, everybody, EJXD2. We're going to send you out into this Wednesday. I mentioned Tampa, and you got Gulfstream and more today. So best of luck. I'm going to wait to put a play together till tomorrow. Thanks to Emily Gullickson and Pete Fornatel as well, Sid Fernando, and Ed DeRosa. And we'll send you out into this historic and hopeful day to the strains of Ray Charles. Talk to you in the morning. America, sweet America.
because